If you were in the position to choose for yourself an inheritance, I wonder what you would choose. Now, I'm not going to go around this morning and ask, but it's quite a remarkable thought that Moses brings out here in Deuteronomy chapter 4. The inheritance that the Lord chose for himself. In verse 20 of Deuteronomy 4, as Moses is reminding the people of what the Lord had done for them, he says, "But the Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace, out of Egypt, to be his people, an inheritance as you are this day." I wonder if we would have chosen a rebellious, sinful people for an inheritance. But that's what the Lord has done, isn't it? That is what the Lord has done. He's chosen out of this sinful world a people as his inheritance. The psalmist in Psalm 2, when he's speaking of the coming of the Son of God, he declares these things. Psalm 2 and verse 7, "I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, 'You are my Son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, the ends of the earth for your possession.'" What a remarkable thought that the Lord has chosen for himself an inheritance, a people to be his people. Because of that, there is a call to us to walk with our God. In his epistle to the Romans in chapter 6, when Paul is reminding us of the way that we can no longer live in the old sinfulness of life, he encourages us that we might walk with our God. In verse 4 he says, "Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." We are to be a people who walk in newness of life in the grace of our God. And here Moses is setting these things before Israel. They are about to enter into the land of promise. He is coming to the end of his earthly days, and he's rehearsing before the Lord's people the things that the Lord had done for them. He is aware, as he says, that he will not cross over into this Jordan. In verse 21 and 22, he says, "Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, swore that I would not cross over the Jordan, that I would not enter the good land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, but I must die in this land. I must not cross over the Jordan, but you shall cross over and possess the good land." He knew that because at one vital point in his leading of Israel, he had failed to honor the Lord. He had failed to uphold the name of the Lord. We find it in the book of Numbers and in chapter 20, how when the people in the desert had chided for water, that the Lord had said to Moses that he was to speak to the rock and that he would bring water out to the rock. And Moses, in a degree of unbelief, struck the rock and took the Lord's glory. Must we bring water out when it was the Lord's work? And the Lord was angry with him. And he suffered here that loss. So the Lord said to him, it does remind us that great privilege also brings great responsibility, doesn't it? And Moses was a man greatly privileged in the ministry of the Lord when his sister and his brother had rebuked him in some of his actions. We read it again in Numbers in chapter 12 how the Lord was angry with him and how he came down and how he said to them that when I call a prophet, I speak to him by dreams and visions, but not so with Moses. With him I speak face to face. How then? How were you not fearful to rebuke him? He was a man of great privilege, and that brings great responsibility. And that is true for all of us. We are a greatly privileged people, and we have a great responsibility. Particularly, I would say, in the ministry of God's Word, it is a great privilege indeed to be able to minister the Word of God and to be able to lead the people of God. But it also brings a great responsibility. Not, I would say, in the same category of Moses. I am not suggesting that we stand equal with Moses. But nonetheless, that responsibility is there, isn't it? That we might walk with the Lord. And Moses, although he knew that he would suffer temporal loss because of that, he nonetheless, as a servant of the Lord, and indeed of Israel, remained faithful to the word of God. Though he knew that he would forfeit earthly blessings, his longing was that God's people would enjoy heavenly blessings, that they would know the fullness of the Lord. We see something similar with the Apostle Paul when in Romans 10 he declares, "My heart's desire for Israel is that they might be saved." That they might be saved. Same sort of thing Moses has here. His heart's desire is that Israel might walk with the Lord. To that end, he brings to them a repeated call, a repeated message that I want to consider with you this morning. We find in verse 9, in verse 15, and in verse 23, this call to God's people: take heed to yourselves. Take heed to yourselves. I want to look at those three calls that come from Moses and to remind ourselves that it is still something that we need to remember. We need to take heed to ourselves in our walk with our God. We walk in newness of life, and we need to walk carefully. Why this exhortation? Why does Moses bring this message before God's people at this point? Well, it was a time, obviously, of great transition for them. He was coming to the end of his days. They were about to go into the land of promise. And again, in the book of Numbers, in chapter 27, where the Lord is making known to Moses that he is to be called to his people, that Israel were to go forward, we find Moses in verse 15 praying to the Lord. Then Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, "Lord, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation who may go out before them and go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd." That they may not be like sheep which have no shepherd. This exhortation comes because Moses knew very well that if the Lord did not set a man to lead his people, they would wander. They would stray. Like sheep with no shepherd. We're not far from the beacons here, are we? You drive up over the beacons and you see those sheep wandering. Now, I'm from a farming background. I've worked in farming. I know that we live in a day where sheep are not cared for as they used to be. It's not a criticism. It's a fact of the day in which we live. But my heart goes out to those poor things. They wander. They wander. They wander. No guidance. And this is what the Moses is saying is the danger for us. We can wander, can't we? And Israel were a wandering people. And so Moses exhorts that they hear the word of God. Have we improved? That is the question, isn't it? Well, we can follow the scriptures through. We can come a long way into the time of the prophets. And we can think of Isaiah and that great 53rd chapter. And what does he have to say with regard to mankind and to the Lord's people? "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." So they hadn't improved by Moses, Isaiah's day, had they? They wandered in Moses' day. They wandered in Isaiah's day. But we are New Testament believers, aren't we? Are we any better? Well, we can think of what Peter has to say with regard to our wandering and what he brings to us in his first epistle. And at the end of chapter 2, in verse 25, he says to the New Testament church, "For you were like sheep going astray, but are now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." And so we can see from the scripture that we haven't improved, have we? We haven't improved. Left to our own devices, we will wander. And so this exhortation that Moses brings before Israel is as relevant to us this morning as it was to Israel in the days of Moses. So I want us to look at these exhortations, and I trust indeed to take heed, as Moses exhorts, to the things of our God. Thank God he does give us guidance. Thank God he does set a pattern before us. How great. What if the Lord left us? If he left us go, if he left us wander, we wouldn't get far, would we? We wouldn't get far indeed. But he has not left us. And these exhortations remind us of something of the things that the Lord has set before us. Verse 9 is the first. Only take heed to yourselves. Diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Teach them to your children and your grandchildren. The first exhortation, take heed to God's way. Take heed to God's way. This is what Moses is reminding the people here, isn't it? The Lord has set a way before us. Take heed to that way. How gracious he is that he has set us a path to walk, that he has given us guidance in his word. There's a lovely word that again comes through Isaiah in chapter 30, the promise of the Lord to guide his people. He says to us in verse 21, your ears shall hear the word behind you, saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand, whenever you turn to the left, this is the way, the Lord's way. It's not always a straightforward way, you see, is it? The way of the Christian life is not a straight line. And Isaiah reminds us, or the Lord reminds Isaiah, sometimes it turns to the right, sometimes it turns to the left. How do we know which way to go? Listen to the Lord. Listen to the Lord. He will set a way before us. And Moses here is exhorting Israel. Listen to the Lord's way. The way of his law. He's already reminded them there in verse 5. I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Be careful to observe them. This is your wisdom and your understanding. In the sight of the peoples will hear all these statutes and say, surely this is a great nation and a wise and understanding people. The way of the Lord, the law of the Lord, set there for our guidance. And throughout this passage, Moses is reminding Israel of the law, the statutes of the Lord, the way of the Lord that we are to walk in. To walk in newness of life, to walk in the Lord's way. In verse 5, he's spoken of those statutes and judgments. In verse 8, he speaks of statutes and righteous judgments that are in the law of our God. In verse 14, he again reminds them of the statutes and the judgments that the Lord had set before them. Further on in the passage, we didn't read all the chapter, but further on we have the same reminders coming again in verse 40. You shall keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you today, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord your God is giving you for all time. And again in verse 45, these are the testimonies, the statutes and the judgments which Moses spoke to the children of Israel after they came out of Egypt. God's law, God's statutes, God's way, God's righteous judgments are there for us to walk in. They are not there to save us. The Apostle Paul, again, in Romans 8, reminds us of that. The law does not save us, not because the law is at fault, but because of our sinful nature. And he reminds us of that, doesn't he, in the opening verses of Romans 8. The law of the Spirit of Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin, to condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We are reminded there, we don't look to the law for salvation. We look to Christ alone for salvation. But knowing that redemption, we are to walk in the light of God's law. We are to walk in his way. Being the redeemed of the Lord, there is a way that is set before us. And Moses says to us, take heed. Take heed to the way of our God. Take heed to that way, the way of righteousness, the way of holiness, the way of purity. And here he addresses Israel as God's chosen people. Moses calls on them to take heed to his way. Is there not that need for us today? Is there not that need for us as the Church of God in the 21st century that we be a people who take heed to the way of our God, who walk in the way of our God? We need to heed that way of the Lord. It's the way of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He sets that plainly before us in that lovely section of John's Gospel, that upper room discourse with the apostles there. He's about to go to Calvary for our redemption. And he's speaking to them in chapter 14 of John, where he says to them, "Where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way. I am the way." If we would know the way of our God, then it is set before us plainly. We walk in the way of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. We look to him, our guide, whether we turn to the right or we turn to the left. Look to the Lord. Look to the Lord. Look to his way. And the exhortation of Moses here is as relevant to us today as it was then. Take heed. Take heed to the way of our God. Verse 15, we have the second exhortation. Take careful heed to yourselves, for you saw no form when the Lord spoke to you at Horeb and out of the midst of the fire. I believe what Moses is saying here is take heed to God's worship. Take heed to the worship of our God. He is reminding them that they are not to turn to false idols. They are not to turn to images. They are not to turn to other things. They are to worship the Lord their God. They did not see him. He saw no vision. They saw no substitute. They heard the voice of the Lord. It reminds us then that the worship of God is a spiritual worship. There was no form. There was no image. For God is a spirit and is to be worshipped in spirit and in truth. Again, we can recall the words of our Saviour there, can't we? When he dealt with the woman at the well of Samaria in John's Gospel again in chapter 4. And how he dealt graciously with that lady. And how she, being convicted of sin, begins to raise various things. Well, you say we should worship there, and our fathers say we should worship here. And the Lord says the time has come when it doesn't matter, not the place, but rather that we worship in spirit and in truth. The hour is coming, and now is, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And here the exhortation of Moses is coming before Israel. You are to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Take heed. Take heed to how we worship God. They were at a time of transition. They had come out of Egypt, out of many hundreds of years of bondage. They've travelled through the wilderness for 40 years. The new generation is about to go into that land of promise. Inevitably, there's excitement, there's change, there's anticipation. And things can easily distract, can't they? Easily distract. Lovely to be in such a lovely building this morning. But we can be distracted by various things, can't we? They can lead us away. And the place and the association and the pattern becomes more important. Now, I'm not suggesting for one moment that you're being drawn away by a new building. But what Moses is saying is take heed. Take heed. We are fickle by nature, you see, aren't we? And we see these things. And we need to worship our God in a right way, not in a materialistic way. And Israel were in danger of falling into those things. The following verses, we see a great list of things here that Moses is warning them against. Verse 16, "You make for yourself an image of any form, any figure the likeness of male or female, the likeness of animals of the earth, the likeness of the creeping things, the likeness of the stars and the moon and the sun. How fickle man is by nature. He will turn to anything. And we as God's people, this is a warning for us. This was Israel. He wasn't talking to the Midianites. He wasn't talking to the Amalekites. He wasn't talking to heathen nations. He was talking to God's people. And he's saying to them, take heed. Take heed that you worship our God aright. They were in danger, you see, weren't they, of forgetting the Creator and worshipping creation. And that is very popular today, isn't it? Evolution rages around and about us. They worship creation. They forget the Creator. Indeed, they deny creation. And therefore deny the Creator. And we are not to be such. And this message comes to us. Take heed. Take heed to how you worship the Lord our God. Indeed, as we remind ourselves what Moses was doing in Deuteronomy, was rehearsing all that God had done. Going over the law and the ceremony and the sacrifices. And that law was given that Israel might worship the Lord aright. That they might come into his presence in an acceptable manner. Well, we ended our reading in verse 24. We are reminded of the reason for that. The Lord your God is a consuming fire. A jealous God. Do we recognize that God in our day? Unpopular God today, you know, isn't he? Even in the church in some ways. The jealous God is an unpopular God. The God who is a consuming fire is not one who wants to be thought of. The message today is God is love. God is kind. God is gracious. That is true. But he is also holy and righteous and pure and a consuming fire and desires that we come in an acceptable manner as we worship him. And the message to Israel is a message for us also today. Take heed. Take heed to how we worship our God. That we come with spirit and with truth to worship him. Then we have another one in verse 23, the third call. And here Moses is reminding the people again. Verse 23, take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and you look to carved images in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. Take heed to that covenant that he has made. Take heed to God's word. How were they to walk right with God? As Moses brings these challenges before them, it would be right to ask, well, how are we to do this, Moses? How are we to find God's way? How are we to know God's worship aright? Well, it's by God's word. By God's word. Take heed to the word of God. Take heed to the word of God. Moses reminding them there. Take heed to the commandments. Take heed to the covenant that the Lord your God has given you. That covenant they knew, for he wrote it for them. In verse 13, where Moses is reminding what the Lord had done, he says, so he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, the Ten Commandments, which he wrote them, and he wrote them on two tablets of stone. God is so gracious to us, isn't he? He calls on us to walk with him, and he gives us a written code of how we are to do it. He gives us the way that we are to walk with him. He has given us his word. He gave there the commandments, the law. We have an expansion of that. We have the fullness. Again, we are a blessed people, you see, aren't we? We have far more blessings than Israel knew at this time. We don't have a greater salvation, for they were saved by grace the same as we are. But we do have a greater revelation. We do have the fullness of God's word. We are blessed in that way. We have a greater responsibility, therefore, to walk with our God. They, at least, were wandering in shadow and in a degree of darkness. We cannot say that. The light has come. We have the light of God's grace in Jesus Christ. We have the light of the fullness of the word of God set before us. Take heed, then. Take heed to God's word. How are we to walk in this world? It's a confusing old world, isn't it? It's a dark world at times, even for the Christian. It's a troubling world. There is an enemy abroad around and about us. There is an old nature that is still within that we battle with day by day. How are we to walk right with our God? Moses says, take heed to God's word. Take heed to God's word. Come to God's word. Do you read God's word? Do you read it? Not just on the Lord's day when we come together, but every day. Is it a book that is precious in your home? Moses instructs us that we are to teach it to our children. We share that word with our families. Do we hold it precious? Is it indeed the joy of our Lord to our hearts? Take heed. Take heed to the word of God. At the beginning of the chapter there, it was we read together, Moses is calling upon them and indeed bringing a very earnest and serious warning before them. Now Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. And when we come through to the end of the word of God, that warning is again repeated, isn't it? Right at the end of the scriptures, at the end of the book of Revelation, chapter 22, almost the last words of God's word to us. And there we read in verse 18, for I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, from the things that are written in this book. Do not add, do not take away. If ever there is a warning we need to heed in our day, it is surely that warning. There are so many who want to change the word of God to suit themselves. So many who want to add to the word of God things that they would like to see. So many who take away from the word of God things that they find difficult and they don't find suitable to their way of life. And here Moses exhorts us, heed the word of God. Heed it in its entirety. Heed it in its fullness. It is God's word. It is God's word. Inspired of the Spirit of God. And therefore we are to handle it in a right manner. And seek to understand it in the Spirit and the guidance of our God. But how gracious he is. How gracious he is. We are as sheep going astray. And he has left before us a guide and a pattern, a way of life that we might walk in newness of life. But do we take heed to it? Do we take heed to it? I trust as a people together, we will love this word, that we will take heed to the things of our God, that they will be precious to us. And like Moses here, we may be a people who are obedient to the things of our God. As we hear God's word, that we heed God's word, that it is precious to us, that we will walk with the Lord. Only take heed to yourselves and diligently keep yourselves, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Teach them to your children and to your grandchildren. What a blessed people we are. What a blessed people we are that we have the word and the guidance of our God freely set before us. I trust he will give us a spirit that we might heed the things of our God and that we might bring him glory and praise and honor. Amen.